Hi, this is Elliot here, and welcome to part 3 of 4, module number 4, 100% confidence in God's lips. Well, today is a beautiful day in London. We've been very fortunate, actually, this week. I mean, usually in April, we tend to have what's called April showers. And, well, it seems the whole month we haven't really had much rain, and we are very grateful for that, so thank you, Lord. Anyway, right, so we've studied how we know that God loves us and how he is faithful to make good on his promises 100% of the time. And now we need to study how impartial God is. In order to pray a prayer of faith, you need to be certain of God's impartiality. God doesn't have favorites, but you need to be certain of that. If you are to have faith that God will actually do anything for you specifically. Well, I've said that God doesn't have favorites, and he doesn't. He favors obedience. If there's one thing that you take from this message today, let it be that. He favors obedience. There is nothing God would do for Jesus that he wouldn't do for you if you will do the same things Jesus did. And that's one of the reasons Jesus came, to make God's blessings available to all, no exceptions. And he also came to show you how you receive them. So today we're going to find out where it says all this in the Bible, so that you'll be sure that when you pray, God will answer you. And when anybody asks you, you'll be able to prove from what God has recorded in his word that he is willing to do as much for you as he did for anybody else that holds him to his word. Have you ever seen one of God's promises which you want fulfilled in your life, but you felt that for whatever reason, God's not going to do that for me? I'm nobody special. But yet you need God to do something, but you can't see how it will happen for you. Maybe because there's no possible visible way it can happen for you because your circumstances are special, or you don't know anybody who can or is even willing to help you, and you get frustrated because you don't know what you should do or what you should do to get God's intervention in your situation. Well, I know what that's like because I've had that too. Here's my story. I didn't exactly believe God showed favoritism, but I could see that some people's prayers seemed to get answered, and yet I was still waiting for God to do something for me. And don't get me wrong, I was happy for them, but at times I felt like God was going to wait until everything was as worse as it could possibly be before he did anything to help me, if he decided to do anything at all. And I knew God had his promises, but I wasn't convinced that whatever he promised that I saw fulfilled in someone else's life, that he would do for me too. I grew up thinking whatever God wants to happen will happen. I didn't think there was anything I could do to influence God's hand in my life other than hope so, and maybe if I beg God enough, I might convince him to change his mind and do something. And I didn't know that you could pray according to his will and he will answer, until eventually I started to actually grasp some understanding from what God himself had to say, and that was a relief compared with being in the middle of a crossfire of random thoughts going on between my ears. See, I had had impressions made on me and had been programmed to take what other people thought and said as gospel, because A, they were older than me, or a person of authority who was respected by many people, or B, they just sounded like they knew what they were talking about because they could quote some scriptures. So here's my story finding the solution. Ironically, one thing I heard people say a lot was that you should never take what other people say about God's word without checking it out for yourself. But I had no idea where to find certain scriptures, but from taking notes in sermons and Bible studies like this, and cross-referencing scriptures in my Bible, I began to build up a decent knowledge of scriptures to know what God really thinks. And the conclusion I came to was, God does not have favorites. He favors obedience. So I thought, okay, I need to know what to be obedient to and obey it, and his promises will be fulfilled in my life. And in my studies, I found that there were two common myths among Christians that the devil uses to convince people that God only favors certain people, and the rest of us just get whatever crumbs he feels like throwing our way. The first myth is that God has a special blessing on the Jews, which nobody else has or will ever have. And the second myth is that God only did things in the days of Jesus, and they're not for our day. And there are so many people who still believe this. It's shocking. God doesn't care what race you are, what sex, or what class you and your family are from. He doesn't care what you have done wrong in times past. And God certainly didn't reserve his goodness for people in times past, nor has he decided not to bother with the people of today. The truth is, the only thing God favors is faith and obedience, and we are going to go into more detail dispelling these myths and go through what you need to do to experience God do anything he promised in his word, because it's all for, and he wants to give it to you, and is willing to do so even if you are the only person to ask him in the history of mankind. And it is my prayer that at the end of this module, you will be irrevocably convinced of that. So here's a quick pre-summary of what we will study today to prove from what God himself has said that he indeed shows no favoritism to anyone. He will pour out his blessings on those who live lives of obedience. You're going to learn the Bible gives clear evidence dispelling the myth of God's favoritism. You're going to learn why God is not a respecter of persons. He is only a respecter of obedience. You're going to learn that God created physical laws and spiritual laws. And you're going to learn that God's laws and promises work consistently no matter who or what it is that is applying the law or claiming his promise. You're going to learn that you must study and work to come in perfect alignment with those laws. You're going to also learn that God's laws and promises were given in love and must be obeyed in love in order for them to produce fruit. And you're going to learn every promise claimed, which is met by the above conditions, will be fulfilled inevitably. And then lastly, you're going to learn how you can make all this practical with four steps. This is how you can get all benefits added on to you. Now, you want to have all of this hardwired in your neurological pathways and go over this over and over and form some of those white patches in your brain with thoughts of God's impartiality and the truth about what it is he requires to fulfill his promises to you. And the reason why is because when you do this, what you'll find is you will experience you gain power over any of the enemy's devices sent to discourage you. And he will have a hard challenge convincing you that God doesn't want to perform for you personally every promise that he ever made to mankind in your life. In fact, he'd be much better off trying to convince you that a baboon would make a good housekeeper than ever convincing you that God's promises, which you claim, won't come to pass for you. Not only that, but you will notice you will have acquired a positive, contagious influence on others when encouraging them that God is willing to perform his promises for them. And you will be able to achieve great levels of faith and confidence once you know you are living in obedience to God's requirements. And because of this, you will experience God's promises come off the page of your Bible to being visible in your life. Now, if you don't burn these concepts in your mind, then you're going to miss out on all this. And the devil will have every success at discouraging you. And instead of having a positive influence on the lives of others, their negativity will rub off on you and your faith will fail. And you both will lose out on achieving the great levels of confidence that God is willing to extend his arms of mercy to you, and you'll live a life of hit and miss when it comes to experiencing the promises of God fulfilled in your life. But all that can be prevented when you fully grasp the vital information in this video. Anybody that does this and keeps it up will succeed with this. What I'm about to share with you is very simple and will move you from ambivalent doubt to unshakable confidence that God will fulfill his promises when you ask him to, every time you meet his requirements. Okay, so without further ado, let's get the confidence we need from God's word to turn our puny faith into warrior status that will make demons tremble when they see that you are a friend of Jesus. Okay, so here's the deal. Christ pledged himself to be everyone's substitute for paying their penalty for violating sin, including your penalty, and he neglects nobody who will accept what he has done for them, who will accept what he has done for them and cooperate with him. All God's promises require to be fulfilled in your life is obedience. And Christ always offers his inexhaustible merits of obedience and applies them to your sincere, humble prayers as they ascend to the throne of God. And he turns your prayers into sweet incense by the application of his merits. God is not a respecter of persons. He is only a respecter of obedience. And the best way to explain this is to look at how laws work. Laws are laws. God created physical laws and spiritual laws, and they both were set by his word. The heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. God is upholding all things by the word of his power, both his physical laws and spiritual laws. Even you can see that physical laws are still being upheld by the word spoken by the lips of God. Gravity still works today. Well, his spiritual laws are no different. So unless you happen to be floating around wherever you are right now, then you have evidence that God's laws work for you, and his spiritual law is no different. So when God says, for example, in James chapter 1 verses 5 to 6, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. That is a spiritual law. You ask in faith, you receive it. In fact, it's deeper than a law. It's actually a covenant, a blood covenant at that. And that covenant entitles you to the constitutional rights of the Bible. That you, as a joint heir with Jesus, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, have every right to stake your claim. So forget not all his benefits. You are the beneficiary to those who the benefits are extended. But the Constitution demands that you must demand them and be in obedience to the Constitution, and that through the merits of Jesus Christ, entitles you and every other citizen of the kingdom of heaven to every promise you claim. God's promises are spiritual laws which must be fulfilled. This is why God wants you to study his word to know what you're entitled to. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You must study and work to come in perfect alignment with the laws. Actively look through the word for what you want to benefit from and simply apply it. Obey it, no matter what. Stay consistent without wavering in your faith. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. After you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Laws work consistently, no matter who or what is applying that law. Like gravity, it doesn't care if you're rich, poor, fat, slim, beautiful, ugly, red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't even care if you're a cat. It only cares if you're lighter than air. If you are heavier than air, the law of gravity dictates you get pulled towards the center of Earth. Unless you apply a law called the law of lift, which supersedes gravity, which makes objects heavier than air defy gravity. But that's because the object heavier than air is, in actual fact, now in obedience to the law of lift. So it will lift up. The laws of sickness is in operation. But if you comply with the laws governing health, you become healthy. Whichever laws you are in obedience to affect the circumstances you manifest in your life. So apply this to any law or promise in the Bible. If it says do this and this will happen, do it and watch it come to pass. The same way gravity works all the time for anyone, the laws of the kingdom of God work all the time for anyone. Natural law and spiritual laws work the same way because they were set in place by the same person. If you are in obedience to the laws of sin, contradicting those of the kingdom, then expect manifestation from your actions. Unless you are in complete obedience to the laws of the kingdom, obeying no other law, then you will struggle with the manifestation of God's promises. So, since law is no respecter of persons, I would just like to add a word of warning. Don't make the mistake of being so arrogant to think spiritual law, aka the word of God, won't work for you. To say that means you are above the law. And since God made the laws and he holds his word above himself, that would mean that you're above God. And I'm sure you're intelligent enough to know better than that. Applying a law and thinking it won't work for you when every person in mankind who did it before and has had it work for them is kind of like being in a situation where you're about to jump off a diving board. You've seen people jumping off and all, without exception, have gone down into the water. And yet you con yourself into thinking that when you jump off that board, I don't think gravity is going to work for me. I think I'm going to end up floating and get stuck suspended in the air. That is ridiculous. Just do whatever the word says and trust it will come to pass. You have God's word. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. James chapter 1 verse 22 to 25 has some brilliant advice to follow if you want to see God's word work for you. It says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. And that's for those who think that what they heard is going to work just by hearing it. It continues, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Now, they didn't have mirrors in those days when this was written, but if they did, James would have said mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. So the man looked in the mirror and forgot what he looked like. If you read the word and don't do it, it's almost like you didn't read it at all, is what it's saying. It has no significance until you do it. Verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So the bottom line here is find the word, do the word, and stay in faith, and you automatically qualify to reap the benefits. There are two things to always bear in mind about God's laws and promises. When the right conditions are met, they work. Number one, every time. Number two, for everyone. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Therefore, the right condition is obedience to whatever the promise requires, as faith without works is dead. Faith itself is a law, a condition needed to please God. And watch this. Faith works by love. Faith works by love. Therefore, your obedient works of faith must be motivated by love. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law. God's law or promises were given in love and must be obeyed in love in order for them to produce fruit. Love is not self-seeking, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Jesus said, I seek not my own will. We need to have the attitude that Jesus had. And you need to remember also that the servant is not above his master, and Jesus is our master. And Jesus himself said, I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So when we obey, we need to obey in love, seeking not our own will, but the will of our Father, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Doesn't matter. So whoever you are, whatever seed you sow, without the motive of expecting return, you reap a harvest you weren't expecting. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Every promise claimed, which is met by the above conditions, will be fulfilled inevitably, sponsored by the merits of Jesus Christ. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By the word of God, things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And so we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The just shall live by obedience, love, and faith. The bottom line is, find the word, do the word, and stay in faith, and you automatically qualify to reap the benefits. God is no respecter of persons. He is a respecter of obedience. Now, we're talking about impartiality. When God says something, it is law. Therefore, his promises are laws. Now, God is his word, and the word is God. Therefore, if his word is no respecter of persons, he is no respecter of persons. And when you claim his promise, he is faithful to hasten his word to perform it. Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God sees you as an individual. He is his word, and he will not break his covenant or alter anything he has said. There is no variableness to his promises, neither the slightest chance of his promises coming to pass for one person and not another, providing his conditions are met. You can rest assured that God will make good on his word to you personally, simply because he wants to do it for you. He has even gone as far as making promises, knowing once he makes his promise, he is bound to his word. He can't lie. So by that fact of truth, him being no respecter of persons forces him, by bondage to his word, into a position of obligation. So even if he didn't want to, which he does, but even if he didn't, he has to because of what he said in his word, that he is no respecter of persons. He can't go back on his word, and he doesn't want to either. He wants to perform what he says more than you want him to do it. Why else would he say, forget not all his benefits, knowing all the many promises he has made? Because he wants you to claim them so he can do them in your life. Because his promises claimed by you serve his purpose and fulfill his dreams. And that's why he will hasten his word to perform it for you. You have to think of the word of God as a personal promise to you personally, as if you were the only human being on the face of earth. God's word is written directly to you, and he was thinking of you when he had it recorded. Put your name in the promises. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So all you have to do is ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? God shows no favoritism. He doesn't love anybody else more than he loves you, not even Jesus. Yes, you heard me correctly. God loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. In John chapter 17, verse 23, Jesus prayed that the world may know that thou, that's God, hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. If God loves you as he has loved Jesus, then there is no way he will do something for one person and not do it for you, if he loves you just as much as Jesus. God doesn't say, I'm going to fulfill this promise to this group of people only, and that promise to another, or I'll bless him or give wisdom to her, and then say to somebody else, sorry, I'm not going to do that for you. I don't really like you. God isn't like man. God's love isn't based on conditions. So now we're going to dispel the myth of God's favoritism. If you ever thought that the promises of God were just for the Jews, oh boy, we are going to blast that lie of the devil into oblivion with the word of God. I've heard too many people say to me, Elliot, the Jews are so blessed. They are God's special people. And I'm a Gentile. I'm no one important to God. Well, I'm tired of hearing it. Because if you think God shows favoritism, one, you're calling God unjust, two, a liar, and third, you are allowing the devil to steal from you. That's what he does, steal, kill, and destroy. He is the devil who seeks who he may devour. You have to remember who you're listening to, the father of lies. Well, if you think that God shows favoritism, then you are the one the devil may devour. Because you won't have faith that God is impartial and willing to fulfill his promises to anyone who meets his requirements, not a special group of people. You can belong to a special group of people, yet live in disobedience as the Israelites did, and eventually God's favor is withdrawn and other nations were allowed to prevail over them. God is not a respecter of persons, he's a respecter of obedience. Now, I don't want the devil to steal from you, so I've collected an arsenal of scriptures from the word of God ready to fire at any unbelief that tries to exalt itself against God. And these scriptures will convince you, you are as special to God as Jesus himself, and he favors nobody above you. See, God did begin his work with a special group of people. But after Christ shed his blood for you, the Bible gives a clear indication. God has now taken the privileges he gave to the Jews and made them available to every person who will accept the merits of his Son. The Bible seems to have different ideas to the ones popularly held by foolish traditions of men. Now let's remember that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The scripture tells us clearly God shows no favoritism. He only favors faith and obedience. If you are in Christ, he has made you joint heir with Christ, and you were blessed with Abraham. But where does it say all that? Glad you asked. Let me show you. Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. The scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that's non-Jews, through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The word faithful there is very significant, because according to the first verse in Galatians chapter 4, the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. You are blessed with faithful Abraham when you believe and are faithful to keep God's word. God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, you are no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So just as much as Isaac was Abraham's son and received the promise, we are, as Isaac was, the children of promise. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. God in these last days has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. If Jesus is heir of all things, and you are joint heir with Jesus, you are heir of all things. Jesus prayed especially that we would be granted this great honor in John chapter 17, verse 24. He said, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. The father of the prodigal son said to the other son, who felt his prodigal brother was being treated better than he was, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. Male, female, red, yellow, black, white, rich, poor, slim, fat, ugly, beautiful, we are all under the same covenant. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. That at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, you should know what God says to one, he says to all. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye all are one in Christ Jesus. God is no respecter of persons. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Oh, and if you have ever thought that the promises of God were just for a certain time and not now, here is one scripture that I know will make you reconsider. By the way, all the scriptures I mentioned before don't just apply to racial boundaries, they also cover time frame, from the beginning of time to now. Here's the scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 10. Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. If anything, these days are better than former days. Check this out. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 6 says, but now hath he, that's Jesus, obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is a mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Thou hast given him his heart's desire, and has not withholden the request of his lips. Selah. He has asked life of thee, and thou gavest it him, even length of days for ever and ever. For thou hast made him most blessed for ever. Okay, so now you know God is no respecter of anyone, no matter who they are, where they are from. God shows no favoritism to any. All his promises are available to all. What do you do? How can you get his promises fulfilled in your life? Well, I've said it several times. God is no respecter of persons. He is a respecter of obedience motivated by love. But how do you make this practical? This is how you get all benefits added onto you. Now forget not all his benefits or promises. Question: can you forget something you have never known in the first place? No. So you have to begin by studying to know what his benefits or promises are. This is why I have given you God's artillery of promises. Because Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, benefits and promises, shall be added unto you. Psalm 119 verse 172 says, all thy commandments are righteousness. Commandments are righteousness. Jesus said, seek first his kingdom. In other words, seek first to know how his kingdom is governed and his righteousness. And you remember, his commandments are righteousness. So seek his commandments and do them. And in doing this, you are seeking the kingdom of God. And as you obey his commandments, which you came to know from first seeking the kingdom of God, all the benefits from the promises you are obeying will be added unto you. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. So don't make the mistake of thinking that because you have heard something once, that you've mastered it. If you're not applying it, then you obviously don't get it yet. So continue to read and review the checklist and the syllabus statement that you saw in Module 2 every day for 30 days, morning and evening. And then look into the artillery of promises and see what the promise is and the commandment accompanying it, and ask God to show you what you need to do, and ask him to help you to obey in love and stay faithful in applying each principle you learn. So here are the four steps. Number one, read and review the checklist and the syllabus statement morning and evening for at least 30 days. We're building some of those white patches in your brain. Second, seek to know God's promises and commands in God's artillery of promises. Number three, ask God to show you what you need to do to obey him in love and stay faithful. And finally, number four, be patient. After you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And watch as God hastens to perform his word. This is the most reliable way the Bible teaches how you get consistent results. When you do those four things consistently, you will gain power over any of the enemy's devices sent to discourage you. And he will have a hard challenge convincing you God's promises, which you claim won't come to pass for you, because you know you are on the right path. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. So if you want to experience for yourself God's promises come off the page of your Bible to being your visible experience, and get as far away from a fruitless Christian experience as possible, as fast as possible, then make sure you make those four steps a part of your lifestyle starting today. Now let me just warn you, the enemy isn't too happy you've just learned all this. So he will try to discourage you. And I know this because Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 4 that when the word of God is sown into your heart, the devil comes immediately to tamper with the seed sown. So he will, I can guarantee this, either try to present circumstances to prevent you from starting, and if you are taking them consistently, he will make it look as if they aren't bearing any fruit. But I can promise you that these four steps will bear fruit because of what God said in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, that if you are willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Because Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Be not deceived. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever seeds of obedience you sow in love, you will reap. Stay faithful. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God.